We trust that they will be blessed because we know they are a blessing. Can all the parents say amen? Well, we think you're a great blessing. So thank you for being part of our church. Okay. I have a message for us today that was inspired in one sense from a flyer that was on the notice board. And I read it, and it gave me my title for today. And Ken touched on it a bit last week, and I want to build on some of the things he was saying. But on this notice board outside, a week or so ago, there was an event on the Saturday night. And it said something like this. I was hoping it would still be there so I could read it, but it's not. It said, "Let's all live together." And then it says, "We welcome you to an event of angels and witches." Angels and demons. They do not mix together, do they? But it's a nice picture on there. It says it's a free event, free car park, free refreshments. Come and join and celebrate together. Now, one of the deceptions of the enemy is to do things like that. So my message, Nigel, for the recording is the power of deception. Now, when we look at the power of deception, it's easy for us to be deceived because we're just good people who want to do good things. And not everything that shines is gold, is what they say. So before I read this portion of scripture, for me, I want to say to us as a church, as we embrace Ken and Val when they come and we embrace Julio and Eunice, we're being fed different food. And it's good to have a contrast because we don't want to build just on one ministry or one individual or individuals. We want to see the fullness of what God has to say for us, to us. And one of the downsides to being me is the fact that I struggle writing notes down. So for me, and I don't suggest anyone else do it this way, I don't know what I'm going to say until I open my mouth. But the Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So if it's in us, it will come out of us. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I've said things in my life and I go, "I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to say that." Well, it must have been in there because it came out. So we're all flawed, aren't we? We are all imperfect, serving a perfect God. So I want to give you a couple of stories. I'm not much of a storyteller, but I think for this particular message, which will probably go into another week, I want to just highlight one or two things. I'm trying to put a timer on. Because as we look through our lives, we can see how God has spoken to us. We can see how he's protected us. We can see how others have been given a ministry that we haven't been given. Others have been given an authority that we don't operate in. We can look at scripture and we can see that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and yet there are other individuals that see things that we don't see. So as we come together as a body, we can support one another, we can love one another, we can correct one another and direct one another to see the plans and purposes God has for us. Now, some years ago, part of my training was I'm severely dyslexic, so I struggle with reading and writing at times, and things look back to front, upside down, and sometimes even when I'm speaking, I may mean Corinthians, but I'll say Colossians, because I've got Colossians in my mind for the next scripture. But God uses me in a different way. And I remember speaking to a couple of people about the deception of the enemy, and there was two, that really stood out. And I want you to listen to these. These are true stories. There was a mother who had a daughter who was severely ill. And she was dying from her illness. And the mother tried everything. She tried praying, but she wasn't a Christian. She was praying to a God that she had no relationship with. But she didn't understand that at the time. She went to charmists. She went to witch doctors. She went to got involved in Wicca, she did Ouija boards, she did all 9/11, everything she could do, she wanted to do, she was desperate. Then one day someone said, "Go and see this charmist, because it works." And she went to see this charmist, and this charmist got this locket, and put this locket around this young girl's neck, and said, "She will be well as long as she wears this locket." And she was. She went right through her early years into her teens, and she became an adult. And she started to question, is there a God? And she said to her mum one day, I want to become a Christian, but I feel that I have to take this necklace off in order to do that. And the mum said, you can't, because as long as you keep that necklace on, you will be well. This is the power of deception. Anyway, she gave her heart to the Lord, and she spoke to the minister about her fears, and he said, let me take it off. And he took it off, and he prayed for her. And they opened this locker up, and inside it said this. It says, Satan, look after this girl till she rots in hell. That's the power of deception. Now, I'm being honest with you because I believe we're living in a time where we're deceived, not by the things that are big, but by the small things. There's another story, true story. A chap that I got to know very well, he was in the double glazing industry, and there was a man who had one of the biggest double glazing firms in East Anglia, and I won't mention his name. He was a multi-millionaire, and his daughter got ill, and he made a pact with the devil. He said, if you heal my daughter, you can have everything I have. The daughter got healed, and he lost everything. He lost his marriage. He lost his finances, he lost his business, he lost his health. He died a sad, lonely individual, but his daughter survived. That's the power of deception. So I know this is a heavy message, but if we don't hear the truth, the full truth, we won't be on our lookout. Well, we won't understand that the enemy prowls around looking for that in which he may devour. The Bible says, stand firm, resist. That's how we overcome the enemy, by the word of our testimony and the power of his blood. Anyway, I shall begin. I just want to bring a few scriptures just to highlight how easy it is to be deceived. Now, I want to caveat this message with this. If you are a Christian, born again, spirit-filled, you're covered by the blood of Jesus. You don't have to fear. You don't have to fear what the enemy's doing. You just have to have eyes to see. Because there's times we walk into a situation and we stumble and we fall. Well, the Bible says, get back up again. And return to me. Get back up again and move forward. Get back up again and trust me. You see, we are imperfect people serving a perfect God. So caveat this message, this kind of doom and gloom in one sense, we're covered by the blood of Jesus. We are a victorious people. But if I just brought a message to say you are a victorious people, what will happen is pride will come in and we'll think that we can do anything. Well, we can, but it's in Christ Jesus. See, that's the power of deception. You can do anything, but we miss that bit out in Christ Jesus. We can do anything according to his plan and purpose. It might not be his plan and purpose for you to walk that walk, to talk that talk in a certain way. So we need to have the fullness of the gospel. And as a shepherd's there to guide, to protect, to direct, to feed. So that's what I want to try and do today. And this is an important message, and I want us to hear it. In 2 Kings 18:29 is talking about deception here. So just listen carefully to what it says. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. Now you've got the king of Assyria, he's the enemy. You've got Hezekiah, he's a God-fearing individual. So just bear that in mind. Read the whole portion of scripture to get it into context. But for what I'm trying to say today, I want to show you how easy it is to fall into the trap of the lie, the deception. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord. See, straight away we should pick that up. Do not allow him to persuade you to trust in the Lord. That's like somebody, one of your best friends, somebody that says, you know, I have faith, I'm a Christian. You don't need to trust what God says. Come follow me. The Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't worry about that. That's just nonsense, he says. Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me. I'm a good guy. Come out with me. Then each of you will eat fruit from your own vine and fig tree and drink water from your own spring or your own cistern until I come and take you into a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life, not death. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, the Lord will deliver us. So just take that picture and you think, well, that sounds good, but he's already said, do not follow what God says. Do not listen to the Lord, Yahweh. Listen to me. I know more than your God does. And then it says, if you come follow me, I'm going to take you out of the land of prosperity that you're in and give you another land of prosperity. Well, why take me out of the land if you're going to bless me? We should start seeing things the way they are. We should start having a highlighter, highlighting these issues in our lives. Let's not be deceived. If we carry on with this portion of scripture, we will see that God does deliver his people, that God keeps his word. But you see how easy it is to be deceived, how easy it is to listen to what this individual has to say, because he's actually saying some good things. You know, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you all that you need, and I'm going to take you out of this land, and I'm going to put you into a land, but he doesn't tell you a land that he will control you in. That's what the enemy does. The enemy highlights the inadequacies in our lives. That the enemy comes along and he speaks to us in a way that it kind of soothes our spirits. There. Nobody loves you but I do. That's deception. What does God say? It goes right back to the garden, doesn't it? Did God really say? Well, yes, he did. It goes back to when the spies went in, the men of God went in to spy out the land, and they forgot one important thing. It says, go and spy out this land that I am giving you. And the enemy comes along and says, they're too big. You're just a grasshopper. Do you know what? If David said that, he would have never slain Goliath, would he? You know, using a crossing over messages, if you look at that, David could have said, oh my goodness, look at how big he is. I'm a grasshopper. Or he could have said, scripture doesn't tell us, look how big he is, I can't miss. You know, it's how we see God. Do we see God as this small, insignificant? Or do we see him as the creator of everything? Well, if he's creator of everything, he created you. He created me. He's made a way. In Psalm 49, verse 5, it says this, why should I fear when evil days come? It's always good to read the Psalms and read Proverbs and just listen to the wisdom that God gave these men. When wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast in their great riches. Read this whole portion here. It says in 13, it says, this is the fate of those who trust in themselves. See, there's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that is the root of evil, not money itself. If you have a problem with money, then let me have it. I'll put it to good use. I don't have a problem with it. I want to be a wealthy man. You should desire to be a wealthy individual, because the more you have, the more you can give away, yes? But it's when we grab hold of it. This psalm tells us that if we put our trust in our riches, we will fail. It says, this is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers. See, when you have a lot of money, you have followers, you have people that will hang on, who approve of their sayings. Those that will say, well done, because they want what they've got. In 15 it says, but God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. Read this portion of scripture for yourselves and see what's being said. There's nothing wrong with finances, but when we put our trust in finances, what we're really doing, the psalmist said, is relying on us. That's a strategy of the enemy. The enemy says, you can do this, you don't need anyone else. You see, many preachers will use this analogy and they'll use it of all the burning fire and the coals in the fire, and they're all glowing and they're all bright, and you take one coal out and you put it on the hearth. It's the same coal that was in the fire that was shining brightly, but once you take it out, it grows dim, it grows dull, it loses any influence it had. Why? Because it was part of the body, and now they've taken themselves out and they're trusting on them in themselves, and they grow cold. The enemy comes along and says, you don't need to come to church. You don't need to fellowship. You don't need to worship. You don't need to give of your finances. God has enough of his own. The enemy comes to rob, steal, and destroy. So, of course, he's going to say these things, isn't he? But as we follow him, Jesus said to those early disciples, and he says to you and me, come follow me, and I will make you. Come follow me, and I will make you into the man, the woman that you need to be. Come follow me, and I will show you the way, because I am the truth, and I'll give you life. Come follow me, and I will prosper you. I will give you great riches, not just a financial wealth, but salvation is the full circle, nothing broken, nothing missing. So the power of deception. So I just want to bring one or two illustrations of how men and women in scripture were easily deceived. And so if that was they were easily deceived, then we can be. That's why the Bible says, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you don't know the truth, you won't be set free from it. So please read your Bibles. If you're like me and you struggle with reading, listen to it. Because if it's in here, the enemy will not be able to deceive you. Because when the enemy says, did God really say? You can say, yes, he did. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. An honest witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. A mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning. Stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Fools make a mock of making amend for sin. God, this portion of scripture is quite apt for many of our lives, because when we look at the media, when we look at or we listen to podcasts, when we even go to church, you know, the Bible talks about false teachers a lot, talks about finance a lot, talks about finance. False teachers a lot, talks about sin a lot, talks about redemption a lot. But the media, the unchurched, and even the church will tell you that making amends, God will forgive you anyway. God forgives you when you repent. It says repent. How many times do I forgive my brother when he sins against me? 7 times? That's perfection? No. A lot more. But there's an action in order to have a reaction. And as we repent, then God forgives. But the world will tell us, we don't need to worry about that. Live your best life now. You will hear, and I won't mention names, you'll hear preachers, ministers who have churches of hundreds of thousands of people just given a motivational speech to say how good you are. And you are, because you belong to God. But he fails to tell you that you're also prone to sin. And because he doesn't tell you that you're prone to sin, he doesn't give you the way out, which is repent. Today is a new day. Do you mess up? I'm sure you don't. I do. I mess up. But I keep short accounts. Lord, forgive me. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. That's what righteousness is. It's imputed to us through the grace of God when he hung on the cross. And when I accepted him as Savior and Lord, I have the right to accept those gifts. As his child, I'm born again of his spirit. But the enemy comes along and says, who do you think you are? Well, you should know who you are. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You've been justified because of what Jesus did. You've been redeemed. You've been snatched out of the flames. You're no longer going to hell. You're heaven bound. But we have a responsibility to not listen to the fools and always make amends for sin. Whenever we're sharing the gospel, like I said, I'm going to tell a few stories as they come to mind. I was listening to a street preacher, and there was I guess she was in the Church of England or Catholic, I think Church of England, vicar, because she had a collar on. And she was shouting at this preacher because he was preaching the truth of God's word. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And she was vicious towards him. And she said, what's the first thing that God calls you to do? And he says, repent. She says, no, love, love, love. No. She's got it wrong. Repent. Is God love? Yes. But you've heard this saying, love is love. Well, love is patient, love is kind, love is slow to anger. It does not keep no record of wrongs. But love also recognizes sin. Love also is able to say no. Love also says, come on, you can do this. Let me give you an illustration of something that really impacted me when I read this. And it was the account of Peter walking on the water, and they're in the boat, and there's a fearfulness in him, and he sees Jesus walking towards him, and Peter calls out and he says, Lord, if it's you, call me and I'll come. And he says, come. And Peter got out of the water, and it tells us that he started to look at the wind and the waves around him, and he started to sink. Yeah? Well, when I look at the heart of God, many preachers will say, that's because he never had enough faith. Well, let me tell you this. What that scripture says to me is that he had great faith. He got out of the boat. Many of us won't even get out of the boat. Many of us won't even share our faith. Many of us won't even pay our tithe. Many of us won't even say, here I am, how can I help? Many of us won't even take the word of God and apply it to our lives. But then this is the poor in me. I just imagine Jesus looking at this man and going, Peter, ye of little faith, go back and try again. You see, the truth of God's word is that's what he says to me and you. The enemy will say, you've failed. You failed. You tried, you can't do it. Why would God ever use you? That's what the enemy says. That's the power of deception. But God says, go back, repent, try again. Come back. For I am with you. The Bible says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's why the truth of God's word will always outdo the lie of the enemy that says you are worthless, you are useless. You know, I could preach a message like this and you can't make church next week. And the week after you come back to church and you feel so convicted, you go, oh, I should have been at church. Listen, life goes on, doesn't it? It's not about coming to church. It's about your relationship with God. You see, you belong to him. You don't belong to me. You're not part of an institution. You're part of a body. You're part of a family. And as we look at what God has called us to do, he's asked me to do certain things that he'll never ask you to do. He's asked me to walk a certain walk that he'll never ask you to walk. And when I start looking at these stories that I've told you, when I start seeing what God is doing in the world at the moment, I know for me, he's preparing me for certain things, but he's maybe not preparing you for those things. But when we look at God's word, the enemy will always come to rob, steal, and destroy. Let's not let deception rob us of God's plans for us. This portion of scripture Ken mentioned last week, and I already had this on my heart. And many years ago, I say this from time to time. Some of you would have heard this story, forgive me. But there's others that haven't. And many years ago, me and a friend, we decided to do some works for the kids that are on the streets. Not beggars, not homeless, but kids that would just leave their houses and just wander around King's Lynn town centre, nothing to do. So that was in the day of discos, if you can imagine that. That was in the days of discos and the glitter ball, right? And the flared trousers. Yes, I was that man. We started a disco, Martin and I, and we asked Nigel to put some stuff together, and he made some speakers out of the heaviest things. That's why I'm strong, because I was lugging these things around. They were about this big, about this wide, and they were half a ton each. And in the centre, I asked Nigel to make up a clock that would go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then when it got to 5, it would be the whole thing would light up. And it was called Take 5. And the behind that was we wanted to bring these kids in, but we wanted to take 5 minutes to preach the gospel. Because it's okay to be good, isn't it? But if they don't know the creator of goodness, what's the point of us doing it? It's okay to feed people. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? But if they don't know why you're feeding them, then they just get fed. We want them to be fed on the word of God. We want to be people that do good because it's good to do. So we had this called Take 5. And the very first day, I'm thinking, Lord, what do you want me to speak about? And this portion of scripture came into my mind. And I'm going to share it with you the way that God showed me. And this is the power of deception. It says, enter through the narrow gate, For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter into it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I'm happy to continue this message another day, so I'm not on a time limit to try and cram everything in. So I want to tell you this story, because to me, it summed up the deception of the enemy, how easy it is. So imagine there's a wide road and there's a wide gate, and as you look through the gate opens really easily and the grass is lush and green and soft under feet, and you're walking along and there's birds singing and flowers blooming, there's fruit trees and bushes all over the place, and you can pick your fill as you're walking along. Everything is good. And as you start going further and further on your journey, you can see in the distance is something, but you can't quite see what it is because it looks a bit dim. And the closer you get to it, the darker it gets. This road is so wide, you don't know if you're on the right-hand side, the left-hand side, because there's a thick fog, and suddenly you can see nothing. But what is behind that fog is a chasm that leads to hell. And on the right-hand side of that chasm is a bridge, but you can't see the bridge. And as you get closer and closer and closer, you fall into the pit and you are lost. That's the wide road. But the beginning of that road was so good. That's what the enemy does in our lives. Everything is good. And many people don't call upon Jesus until things aren't quite so good, which is just the way we are, isn't it? We don't pray so much until disaster comes. But then there's a narrow gate, and it's the same area, and the gate is narrow, and as you start to open it, it won't open, and you have to pull it, you have to force it, you have to want to get in, and you pull this door open, and it creaks on its hinges, and as you start to walk in, you're not walking on lush grass, you're walking on cobblestones, and this seems to hurt your feet, it seems to change the way in which you walk. Suddenly you're more careful of your surroundings, and it narrows and it narrows. But in the distance you can see there's something. You can't quite work out what it is, but the closer you get to it, the brighter the light shines. And as you get towards this chasm on the right hand side of the bridge, and on that bridge are words, and those words spell out Jesus. And as you walk across that bridge, you get to God and you find life, and life in all its fullness. That's the way God showed me to minister on this narrow and wide gate. The power of deception is everything looks good. I don't need God. I've got enough money. My kids are well. I'm healthy. I have a husband. I have a wife. I have family. I do not need God. That's the wide road. But the closer we get to the end, the darker things become. That's the power of deception. I hope you grasp that. And I shared this with these kids. They were traumatized by the time they left. But we need to sow seeds, don't we? We need to sow seeds. So nothing is wasted. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. When we look at this portion of scripture, many godly men and women have got themselves into trouble because they simply read this portion of scripture. But there's power in deception. So I'm going to read it because it's God's word. Listen very carefully to the deception. Or do you not know that wrongdoers, evildoers some translations say, will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, neither thieves, or the greedy, or drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And this is the deception. And that is what some of you were. You see, many preachers will preach that bit, but they miss out this bit. Some of you were. Some of us were. Some of us still struggle, don't we? Some of us are, but we've been washed. Listen, this is the deception. They read the first bit and think that I've just done the will of God here. I've just told people that they're sinners. Yes, they are. We all are. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His Spirit, by the Spirit of God. That's the bit that we're deceived with. That's the bit we fail to read. That's the bit preachers fail to preach. We are all messed up. We're all sinful. That's why we need a saviour. Yes? It breaks my heart the way that some segments of society have been been demonised as being more unworthy of God's grace than others. But this gives us a sharp intake of breath saying, Lord, that could have been me. Lord, that was me creating me a clean heart. So can you see the power of deception? You know, because there's many people out there that think they're not good enough to come into God's kingdom. Well, God didn't come for good people, did he? He came for sinful people, such as you and I. So we qualify, don't we? The power of deception. We've got a bit of time. It's warm in the building, so we don't need to worry about getting cold. So let's share what it says in John 8:36. It says this. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's not if the Son sets you free, you'll be under condemnation for the rest of your life. Ken ministered on last week. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But listen, who are walking according to the Spirit, not to the flesh. So what happens when we walk according to the flesh, there's a condemnation. Not that God will withdraw his hand from us, but he convicts us. Conviction is a good thing. The fear of the Lord is a good thing, because when we fear God, we'll turn away from our sin and turn towards him. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So if you're a Christian, you're free. You know, have you ever played hide and seek as a youngster or even as an older one? My grandchildren, right? This has nothing to do with the message. It's just a good story. They'll go and hide, and I'll go, where are you? I'm behind the curtain. That's not the way you're supposed to play hide and seek. But the truth of it, I knew where she was, he was all the time. God knows where you are. You don't have to hide from him. You know, going back to the garden, they messed up, didn't they? Adam and Eve. They messed up. God gave him authority and him responsibility, and all he could do was blame someone else. It's her fault. It's that woman you gave me. And the woman says, it's not my fault. That's that snake's fault. We're always trying to hide the truth. The truth is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's me and you. You can't hide. God knows where you are. He knows your heart. He knows your condition. So as we come back and we go, I've been set free, Lord, create in me a clean heart. The enemy cannot touch you because you're covered by the blood of Jesus. He can try and infiltrate in circumstances and situations. He can try and mislead you. And because we're human, we will sometimes be misled. But there are a greater power at work. He that is in me, the Bible says, is greater than he that is in the world. Yes? Is that true? Well, if that's true for me, it's also true for you. In Romans 8:36, it says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation, will be able to separate me or us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. There are many people who will love God, a God. You say to a Hindu, do you follow God? They go, which one? Which one? You know what, there's a portion of scripture that says this very aptly. And if you can't see the irony in this, if you can't see the humor in this, then you've missed it. It talks about it in the Old Testament. It says you'll get a piece of wood, a nice piece of wood, and you'll cut it in half. And half of it you will fashion into a god and worship it. And the other half you'll cook your breakfast on. It's the same dead piece of wood, isn't it? There's so many people serving a dead god. Because it's in Christ Jesus. Now, if this was a paper Bible, which it isn't, I'd pick it up and I'd say, this, outside of the breath of God, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, it's just a book of old words. It only becomes alive when it's breathed on by the Ruach of God. The breath of God comes to breathe upon these words. And as you have accepted him as Savior and Lord, as you've repented and turned to him, you have eyes to see and ears to hear. And suddenly it becomes alive. But if you just serve God, just serve a God, which God? The God of flesh, the God of I want everything and I want it now. The God of the miraculous, but not everything that shines is gold. Remember what happens when you look at the deceivers in the Bible? They did miracles. They did signs and wonders. It's Yahweh, the God, the truth, I am. It's in Jesus Christ. That's why it says in the Bible that he becomes the stumbling stone. Why? Because people fall over Jesus because they can't handle the truth. Now, there is a famous line in a film that I could say, but I won't. You can't handle the truth. Some of you will know it immediately and others are perplexed. I'll explain later. In 1 Kings 13:15, so the prophet said to him, come home with me and eat. Oh, you need to read this portion of scripture. How many times do we look at a man or a woman that says, I'm a prophet of God? Now, I could stand here before you and say, I'm a prophet. Well, to prophesy, in the New Testament sense, is to proclaim the truth about Jesus Christ. So I guess I am a prophet, and so are you. But in the Old Testament, the prophets were men, and they would share what God has said to the people because Jesus hadn't come. They would say, there is one coming. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it says in New Testament times. Repent. It says, make way. There is one that will come. Isaiah talks about there's one that's coming. It would foretell the coming of God in the flesh. But how many times on our walk, and I'll share this with you, I remember when I was a young Christian, I was hungry for, I wanted God to speak to me. Have you ever been in that position? Just tell me which way I should go. Lord, just give me a word. And I remember going to a meeting with a lot of, there was a lot of church leaders there, and I was on the fringes, so I got invited along. And there was a prophet there, and he started to prophesy, and I'm desperate, God, talk to me. And then this man said something which disqualified him from the title that he had. He said, right, I'll finish now. Don't bother to come and talk to me, because if God wanted to say something to you, he'd have said it in the 40 minutes that he gave me. So I'm now going to have lunch. Leave me alone. That was his attitude. Well, that's not the heart of God, is it? So he's disqualified. And yet he called himself a prophet. And people like me would flock to these buildings just to hear what God is saying, not realizing that he talks to me through his word. He talks to me through visions and dreams. He talks to you in the same way. You know, some of you will see things that others don't see. And sometimes it's because you had a curry the night before. But other times, other times, God's inspirational. He's inspiring you. I am funny sometimes. He inspires you. And you see something that you never saw before. Like me with the wide road and the narrow road. The truth was in what I was saying, but I wasn't reading fully from scripture. But when you look at the fullness of what God does, that's what he's saying. And some of you will have this impression upon you, and it's almost more like knowledge than it is the prophetic, because Jesus has already come. You don't need to prophesy about it. But we put these labels on men and women, and we look to them, and we'll be disappointed. Now, God will use some men and he will use some women. I was in a meeting, and I've said this before, and there's some people in this room that's in the same meeting. And I said this, I was desperate for God to talk to me because I didn't think I was worthy of his grace. I'm going, God, just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. And I said this, not out loud, in my heart. Because this man of God was praying for people, and he stopped. He went round me and he started praying for everyone else. And I'm thinking, is there something wrong with me, God? So I'm talking to God in my heart, okay? Not out loud. No one can hear me. And I said, God, why are you passing me by? And a Christian friend of mine came up to me and he said, I don't know. But I believe God says he's not passing you by. So my ears pricked up. Tell me more. He's not passing you by. If you want a good, strong building, you need to dig a deep foundation. Now, to me, that was a prophetic utterance. That was a word of knowledge. But it didn't come from someone that says, I'm a prophet. It came from someone who says, here I am, Lord, use me. Yeah? So that's the power of deception, because there'll be men who will guide you and direct you down the wrong path if it doesn't weigh up with Scripture. So look in the Bible. Here I lay before you a crossroad, right? So we, in our natural, we're going, God, do I go right or do I go left? And I'm not going to speak for God. Let him speak himself. But you know what? If Christ is in me, if I go to the right, then he'll bless me. If I go to the left, then he'll bless me. Yes? Lord, should I move home? Should I go and do this and do that? Well, our prayer is, Lord, if you want me there, open up the way. I'll see that as a sign. Prosper me, bless me, encourage me. All things work together for those that love the Lord. It wasn't a prophet who said, the Lord is saying, move to Mongolia. Because be clear, you need to listen to God if that's what's being said. Power of deception. I'm going to close because of time, but there's two more scriptures that I could squeeze in. It says this in 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. So what's this say to us? Don't get drunk. Be of sober mind. Have a clear idea of what's happening. Don't, you know, parents, we're advised to not discipline our children when we're angry. Right? We need to be sober. Okay. Instead of saying, you're grounded until you're 22, we go, look, some of your privilege is going to be withdrawn. We need to be sober, a sober mind. That's what's happening up here between our ears. Your enemy, the devil, that's your enemy, my enemy, that's the enemy of good, is evil. You cannot have angels and demons sitting round the same table. The Bible says fresh water and salt water cannot flow from the same stream, but we know that the deceiver is out to deceive, and the Bible tells us even the elect, if that is possible. So it says this, be alert, be sober. Your enemy, the devil, that's your enemy, not each other. The Bible says our fight is not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. That's your enemy. The lion looking for someone to devour. How do we resist him? By standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Here's another deception of the enemy. If God loved you so much, why are you going through pain? Have you not read Scripture? The Bible says you will suffer. And if you've never suffered and you're not suffering, maybe there's something wrong. Because we will suffer. Why? Because we're in the world. But be of good cheer, we're not of the world. He that is in us, as I said before, is greater than he that is in the world. Now I'll encourage you with my final scripture in Matthew 24:4. Jesus answered, watch that no one deceives you. Watch that no one deceives you. It doesn't matter how good or how eloquent someone is. You can visit a church, you can listen to a ministry, you can have a podcast, watch a video, and the man or the woman is just so mesmerizing. Wow. Do not be deceived. Watch out. We should always be watching out. We should always be saying, is that what God says? Is that what the Bible says? If someone says, God will never forgive you if you say that, well, that's not true, because God will forgive you. If you do that, God won't forgive you. He will forgive you if you repent. Let's not be deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will be deceived by many. The Bible says this, nobody knows the day or the hour. So if someone says, I am the Messiah, the end of the world is tomorrow, then we don't believe them. Why? Because they're not the Messiah, and they don't know when the end of the world is, because only the Father does. See, no one knows. The enemy is out to rob, steal, and destroy. The enemy is out to rob you of your peace. But I feel this is such an important message for us as a church, because I think I'd be neglecting the ministry God's given me as a shepherd if I didn't bring a message like this. There are two or three messages that I look through Scripture, and they are really, really important. This is one of them. The other one is the power in the blood of Jesus Christ. The power in the blood of Jesus Christ for another day. But the power of deception is real. It's real. The enemy is not this horrible looking individual. It's beauty. It smells of lovely fragrance. It says, look at this wide road. Come. Well, how can that be evil? Look at this lush grass. Look at this fruit. I can have what I want, do what I want, be who I want, live my best life now. What's wrong with that? Be careful. If you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't stumble and fall. Because there are sins out there, there are things out there that will cause all of us to stray. They're common to man, the Bible says. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So I'm going to close with prayer. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share the truth of your word. Lord, we know that the enemy, the devil, is a liar. He's a thief. He comes to rob, steal, and destroy. But Lord, the good news is, you say that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we can be free because we have put our trust in you. So Lord, today, take away any fear of the unknown. Lord, if we've stumbled and fallen, if we've messed up, the enemy will try and rob us of our peace. The enemy will say that we're disgusting. That who do you think you are calling yourself a Christian? How can you go to church and worship God when you've done or said or been or withdrawn? But the truth of God's word is this. If you repent, he forgives you. And he does not remember your sin. So please don't remember your own. Get right with God. Accept that he's washed you, cleansed you, clothed you. Except that he's placed you on that narrow road that leads to life. He's given you eyes that will see the deception in front of you. Ears that will hear the flattery that comes and tries to sway us from the right or the left. The Bible says he's made the high things low and the low things high. He's made a straight street for each one of us to walk on. So Lord, bless us as we become and we keep moving forward on this narrow path that you've called us to. This narrow path that may feel difficult at times. This narrow path that ultimately leads to life and life in all its fullness. And God's people said, amen to that. Amen. Please, let's worship him. Have some hospitality together.